a story that is not from the Bible. The ancient rabbis say that when Moses was out in the middle of nowhere in Midian, keeping the sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro, he noticed that there was a lamb that slipped away from the herd. Now, Moses had a choice. He could either stay with the herd and let the lamb be lost, or he could follow the lamb and try to catch it and bring it back to the herd. Well, he decided to go after the lamb. He thought, after all, how fast can a lamb run? So, chasing after the lamb, what he found was that the faster Moses ran, the faster the lamb ran. And Moses was running after the lamb, saying, come back here, come back here. And then the lamb came upon a pool of water where it stopped and got a drink. And Moses stopped and he thought for a minute. He thought, how silly I was. All the lamb wanted was a drink of water. If I had been smart, I would have brought the whole flock of sheep down. I would have watered them. Everything would have been fine. So when the lamb had drunk its full, Moses put the lamb on his shoulders, came back, took the entire flock of sheep down, and gave them the water that they needed. Now, the ancient rabbis say that God was watching all this, and it was at that moment that God said, that's the person I want to lead my people out of slavery. That is just the kind of person who will be a shepherd to my people as they find their way to a new land. A story from the Bible. David was just a boy, and he was a shepherd. Not unusual in the Middle East to this day that boys and girls act as shepherds for their family. When Samuel came to find a new king for Israel, sent in secret by God to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, David isn't even present. Samuel goes through all of Jesse's sons, one after another, and God says to each one, this is not the one, this is not the one, this is not the one, until finally they're all gone, and Samuel has to ask, don't you have any more? And almost as an afterthought, Jesse said, well, yeah, there's the kid, there's the youngest, David, he's just keeping the sheep. And it's David that God says, this is the one. David goes out to take food to his brothers who are fighting in a battle for Saul. The battle is against the Philistines, and very little fighting is actually going on because the Philistines have a champion, a giant named Goliath, and he comes out and he taunts and humiliates the Israelites. And not a single soldier, not even the king, will go up against him. When the boy David brings the food to his brothers, he notices this. So he raises his hand. He says, I'll go up against that giant. They laughed at him. They said, what are you? You're a kid. He said, hey, I'm not just a kid. I'm a shepherd. And when I keep those sheep out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, and lions and bears and wolves come up, who do you think fights them off? If I can face lions and bears and wolves and God gives me the victory, who's afraid of an old Philistine giant? Shepherds are brave. Now, these two stories really illustrate a couple of different aspects of shepherds. When Jesus was telling this story, everybody around him would already have a preconceived notion about shepherds. First of all, they would see them working all the time. Wherever you traveled from town to town in Israel, you would have seen shepherds with their flocks of sheep and goats on the hillsides. Some of those shepherds would be family members, sometimes boys and girls, sometimes really children. Others would be hired shepherds, and those hired shepherds would be keeping sheep for people other than them. And so people would be used to this image of shepherd, but the image of shepherd was also an important and historic image within the history of Israel. Moses had been a shepherd. Moses had been a shepherd for his father-in-law Jethro's flocks in Midian, but more importantly, Moses had been a shepherd for the people as they wandered in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. One of the aspects of the shepherd is that the shepherd is the one who helps the sheep find nourishment and water, find what they need so that they can actually continue to live. The sheep depend on the shepherd to find these places, to lead them there, and then to bring them safely back. So one of the things that a shepherd does is to provide for those, every single sheep, to make sure every sheep has enough. The second thing the shepherd does is illustrated by David's story, because a shepherd protects the sheep. If there is danger, the shepherd steps in and puts himself or herself between the sheep and the danger. It's risky business. It's difficult business. And if they're your sheep or your family's sheep, you're not going to run away. But as Jesus observes, if they're not your sheep and you're just being paid by the day to watch them, you're liable to run away and leave them to the wild beasts. When Jesus talks about shepherd, all of that is spinning in the imaginations of the people who are listening. They know that all the kings of Israel are also called to be shepherds. When the people of Israel wanted a king, Samuel warned them, because God had warned Samuel, that if they want to be like the nations and they want a king like all the other nations, that what that king would do is that king would take their sons and send them off to war, would take their daughters and make them servants and slaves and concubines. Plus, the kings in the other nations were gods. In Israel, there was only one God, and it was not the king. The king, instead, in Israel, was to be a shepherd. The king was to make sure that all the people had enough, that no one was left out. Kings were judged by how they treated the least of these, the widows and the orphans. They weren't judged by how large an army they had, or how large a treasury they had, or how important they thought they were. They were judged by how they treated the least of these. Making sure everyone had enough, that no one was pushed to the margins, no one was left out. Jesus said, I have come so you can have life and have it abundantly. No wonder he describes himself as a good shepherd. The second thing the king does is to create a safe place for the people, a place where people can come, be cared for, be in safety. Like the shepherd protecting the sheep, the king is supposed to provide not just for the material needs of the people, but also that they can find a home in which they are welcomed and safe. Of course, Jesus would call himself the good shepherd. This is the culmination of a whole series of sayings that Jesus had that are called the I Am sayings. And this is probably the best known, in part because we link it with Psalm 23, with images of shepherds in stories from Scripture and from outside of Scripture. But when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for my sheep, we know he means that literally. We know the rest of the story. That's exactly what he did. He cared for his sheep to make sure they had everything they needed. And then when the time came that the dangerous forces converged upon them, he was the one who stepped up and offered himself to stand between his people and the wild beasts. When Jesus talks about being a good shepherd, he's talking about our calling to some extent to care for each other, to shepherd each other. I've always been a bit daunted by the title pastor, because pastor comes from the word shepherd. In Spanish, the first line of Psalm 23 is, El Señor es mi pastor. I am not the good shepherd. Neither are any of the rest of us who are ordained. There is only one truly good shepherd. But you might say we are called among the sheep to understudy the good shepherd, to try to emulate the good shepherd, to aspire to be as much like that shepherd as we possibly can. And you all are fortunate in that you've got a whole team of shepherds. We're going to be seeing some transitions in that team coming up fairly shortly. Brandon Baxter is going to be coming, and Chris and Erica are going to be heading out for a new adventure. Carol Cavan-Dillon is going to be coming, and Margaret and I are heading out for a new adventure. You know, sometimes people, in a very sweet and supportive way, will say to me, you know, Carol's going to have big shoes to fill. And I don't think they're talking about my size 12 feet. As kind as that is, you're wrong. She's not going to have any shoes to fill, because I intend to take my shoes with me. And she's going to have to bring her own. She shouldn't have to fill my shoes. She shouldn't want to fill my shoes. Each of us who understudy the Good Shepherd bring our own set of gifts. And as limited as each of us might be, it's those gifts that God uses. It's those gifts that God shares. And with the team of people we have here, you have a variety of gifts to care for you, to create a safe place in this place, so that people who outside don't feel at home can feel at home here. For people who are pushed to the margins will find a safe place in this place. And so that we can provide everything you need to grow as a disciple of Jesus. We are not the host of this meal. We'll be inviting you to a feast to celebrate the Good Shepherd, but we are not the host. I am not the host. Jesus is the host of this meal, and we understudies do our best to make sure you know you are welcome, and to make sure that you are fed, and to make sure that you feel safe in this place and loved in this place. That's our job as pastors, as understudy shepherds. That's our privilege. That's our burden. That's our responsibility. And so when we talk about a shepherd, there is one shepherd, one truly good shepherd, and that is Jesus. But we are called, all of us, not just those who have the title pastor, to shepherd each other, to provide for each other what the other needs, to offer that safety and care for each person who comes. That is our privilege. That is our burden. That is our responsibility. Thanks be to God.